G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm your host, Graham Curry, from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss now for over a year. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what that journey has been like. I also wanted to give you some information about intermittent fasting, talk to people that are doing it, and bring in some experts in the field, including some leading authors of some great books about the subject. Talk about the highs, the lows, the triumphs, the celebrations, the negatives, the positives, and everything in between. Nothing is a silver bullet, as they say, but intermittent fasting is about the closest thing that you can get to a perfect health plan with a side effect of weight loss. So sit back in the next few weeks and enjoy life on the fasting highway with us. Thank you. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. Before we get to this week's guest, I'm excited to announce that we do now have the Fasting Highway podcast Facebook group is now up and running. So the idea of the Facebook group is that people can come and discuss the podcast. They can come and learn about intermittent fasting. We have a wide range of fasters in there, highly experienced, right down to beginners, who are more than happy to share information and help people get on the journey with intermittent fasting. So that's the Fasting Highway podcast Facebook group. So please come and join us. So this week, guys, in episode 13, I'm very fortunate to have with me a good friend in Jeff Barth. And Jeff is from Peoria, Illinois, in the United States of America. And Jeff is a truck driver. And Jeff has been a truckie now for some 29 years. And Jeff recently took up intermittent fasting some 4 months ago and has had some amazing success early on, dropping an incredible 34 pounds of weight. And Jeff has also found that he's getting some real health benefits early on, and he has such a great insight and offers some really good advice for people that are just starting out. And Jeff has found that truck driving and intermittent fasting really go together, and he thinks it really suits his schedule. So I'm excited to talk to him and welcome Jeff. G'day, Jeff, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me today.
It's a privilege, Graham. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, that's great, mate. So, Jeff, what we like to do here on the Fasting Highway is we like to get a bit of your backstory leading up to when you found out about intermittent fasting and how you found it.
Well, I started out with low carb probably in my 40s and thought it was the answer. And it's kind of funny because you get on that and you go at it for a while, and then I would fall off the wagon and I'd have new clothes and then I'd gain the weight back. And so it was up and down for years, and I probably lost weight three different times over the years. And so I came to a point where my mother and father had died in the nursing home, and mom had Alzheimer's, and dad had diabetes and heart issues, and their deaths weren't pleasant. And it's got me going to a point where I thought to myself, do you want to end up this way? And I think I gave up, Graham. I really did. I think I hit a point where I thought, you know, this is just my lot in life. And so I was miserable, and I tried to exercise, and I had a hip issue with an injury I got because as a truck driver, I was a flatbedder. And we tarp a lot of loads, and picking up a tarp, I torn a tendon in my hip. And after that, it just didn't heal up right. So I always had inflammation in there. So when I try to walk, it would hurt and I'd have to sit down. And so I decided to try low carb one more time. And you probably have heard of Jimmy Moore. So I'd heard Jimmy Moore on Livin' La Vida Low Carb podcast talking about fasting. And I thought, how boring is that? And I thought, you know what? Ultimately, what happens when you go low carb is you begin to eat less. And then finally, you get to a point where you're going 12, 14 hours without food because you're just not hungry doing the low carb diet because you're satiated. And so I started thinking, well, maybe this fasting thing has something to it. So I started looking around, and this is a very common story. I came across Delay Don't Deny. And then I started listening to her Intermittent Fasting Stories podcast, Jen Stevens. And I listened to every episode she had, bought the book, read the book, And it changed my life. It really did. I mean, it really changed the way things were. And so I started fasting and I talked it up a little bit. We'll talk about that later, but I got some good support around me and started doing it and never felt better. And here we are today. And I'm in my fourth month. June 16th was my official start date when I got the Zero app. And so this is my fourth month that I'm into, and it's been life-changing, and it just seems like such a nice lifestyle.
Yeah, that's great, Jeff. So what was your weight looking like when you first started intermittent fasting, Jeff?
312 pounds or 141 and a half kilos is where I began the journey. And that's dressed weight. I weigh on an industrial scale in the warehouse where they weigh steel. And I've lost to date 34 pounds or 15.5 kilos. So I'm down to about 178 pounds dressed. So I'm a little lighter than that if I was weighing in my bathroom, but seems like I'm averaging about 10 pounds a month at this point.
Wow, that's pretty good going, mate. So what sort of window are you doing, and how did you actually choose your fasting protocol to start? How did you get going with it?
Well, like so many, I started out with a 16-8 just to see how it felt. And I was hungry in the beginning because I wasn't fat adapted. And I quickly graduated to an 18 and then 20. And I was, because of my job, because of COVID, I wasn't doing my normal job. I was doing some local runs coming home at night, but typically sometimes it would be 22 hours before I get home and I wouldn't eat till I got here because I wanted to make a quality meal. And then I moved into a steady 20 to 22 hour fast and with about a 2 to 3 hour eating window. And it seemed to work really well until Tiffany Henshaw came along, and that changed everything. Listening to your podcast, it changed the whole way I do everything. So now I'm doing this. This is exactly what I'm doing. I leave the house in the wee hours of the morning on Sunday, and I head down to Georgia, and from Illinois to Georgia. And when I get down, when I'm leaving, I'll do a OMAD meal earlier in the day. And then I wind up with about a 48-hour fast before I get home from Sunday morning to Tuesday. And Tuesday, when I get home into my house, I can cook food and make a quality meal. I try to eat food that doesn't have a label on it. And it works out really well for me to just do the 48. It seems like I just finished one up today, and it was hard to eat afterwards. It's hard to stop fasting. It was a good experience.
Yeah. So Jeff, just winding back a bit, you're a truck driver for some 30 odd years now, close to it. Do you think that was part of the cause of your obesity, being on the road so much and in a sedentary lifestyle of driving?
Graham, absolutely. It was my legs. I've got pictures, and you know what? Everybody encourages you to take pictures. So I have, and I was looking at pictures of my ankles that I took, and I had such water retention below my knees from sitting. And cause it's 12 and a half hours to Georgia. It's, I think 1,132 kilometers or 704 miles. I run 2,800 miles a week or 4,500 kilometers a week. And it's, it takes probably with sleep time about 110 hours. And I spend, you know, between, I'm in the seat probably 11 hours a day. And I get out, I've got a Dutch Shepherd in my truck. He's 104 pounds. His name is Gus. And I get Gus out and walk him a little bit, but it's getting harder to sit there, Graham, because I've got more energy, but it really has taken my toll. And the other thing is raising a family. Food's expensive on the road. So that fast food, and you've talked about it in every podcast, that fast food is just so easy to go to that dollar menu and go eat McDonald's and eat the crap and keep the money in the house. And it really, I mean, I think I know I was insulin resistant because I got skin tags and all kinds of different ailments from just eating and driving. I mean, it's a hard lifestyle. It really is.
Yeah. Was it something that your colleagues were suffering from too, with obesity and poor diets on the road? Did you notice that, or you didn't really notice it at the time?
Well, I promised my buddy Big T I would bring him up today. And I've got two best friends, and they're both named Kevin, and Big T is a truck driver, and Kevin is a school teacher. And Big T, early on, was 328 pounds, got type 2 diabetes. And people that get diabetes tend to drop a lot of weight. And Big T started doing the ketogenic diet, and he lost weight. And I went to intermittent fasting, and Big T is always one who hangs back a little while and pays attention to what's going on before he jumps in. And one day I was talking to him about it. He says, yeah, I started doing it. And Big T started doing a 20-hour fast. And he stuck with it, and he's dropped 15 pounds. I think he's down to about 248 now. And his wife is always asking him, is your window open? Which just cracks me up. But it's really changed his life. And he's always kind of gone along with me, whether I was doing the keto diet or whatever. But he's much more in control of his diabetes now because of intermittent fasting. And he says that, you know what, I'll never stop doing this. It's a great lifestyle. It really is.
Oh, that's fantastic, mate. And have you noticed some of the other truckies and are starting to notice your weight loss, and they're starting to get interested in what you're doing, Jeff?
It's funny because I was in the warehouse in Georgia this week, and they told me that my shirt looked like a dress because my belly's dropped so much. And in the other warehouse, one of the ladies that works in Washington, Illinois, close to home, she said, Jeff, how much weight have you lost? And I told her that I'd lost about 34 pounds or 15 and a half kilos. And she said, that's fantastic. But she says, I just don't think I could intermittent fast with my kids. And I said, you know, anybody can skip breakfast and stop eating at 7 o'clock at night to begin, because once people start, then they usually catch on pretty quick because they become fat adapted. But yeah, people are noticing, Graham. It's getting attention.
Yeah, that's great, mate. And with your clothes, I always feel, Jeff, when they do start getting baggy like that, I think for mindset purposes, get them out the door as soon as possible. And you know how sometimes we go on diets and we keep piles of clothes thinking, oh, I might need them again, because you have it in the back of your mind that you're going to slip back. But I found on my journey, as soon as those clothes started getting baggy on me, mate, I donated them straight away and I went out and I bought new clothes. And I think if you probably do that, it's going to really help you.
That's great advice. That's really good advice. I was fortunate in that, oh, four or five years ago, I'd lost weight, and I'd bought some clothes that I kept in my closet. And one of the pair of pants I had, I'd wore to Paris. And I kept that pair of pants, and I just couldn't get them on. And now they're getting a little bit loose on me. But, you know, having listened to you talk about going through four wardrobes, I'm so excited to walk into, and it's probably going to be after the first of the year or possibly a little later, walk into Kohl's or a department store that you don't have to buy the big and tall clothes, because I buy a lot of my clothes at the sporting shops that we've got around, like the Big R and Farm and Fleet or locals, and because they have what's called tall size. So you get a shirt and it's like a 2X tall, which tall just translated fits over your fat belly. And I am so excited. And that's one of the things, when I first saw you on the Facebook page and I saw how you were dressed, and I saw your before and after pictures, it's been one of my motivators, because it's been my dream my whole life to be what your doctor said. You're a tall, thin man.
Yeah.
I'd love to walk into my doctor's office, because I'm about 6'2", not as tall as you, but have him say, Jeff, you're a tall, thin man. And that's just, it's been a real motivator just watching you on the Facebook page. It really has.
Yeah. Thanks, mate. It is very freeing, and I can't tell you what it was like that day when I actually got out of those big and tall shops, and I went to the big and tall shop, and the lady said to me, you're not going to need us much longer, because I'd been a client of theirs for years. And it was the only place here in Perth in Western Australia where I could actually buy clothes or get hold of clothes that would actually fit me. And Jeff, obesity used to choose my clothes, and now I do. And when you get to that point, you'll just be so excited, and you'll be the best dressed truckie on the highway.
That's going to be a lot. I'm looking forward to that day, and having the freedom to be able to go shop and buy a style that I want to buy and not be forced to buy something that fits me. And it's so disappointing when you go through the rack and you start looking through to see, do they have the 44s? And you get down to the bottom of the pile and they've got just a couple pairs and it's gray and not black or not some other, it's not trendy and it's what's left. And you buy the big shirts and the shirts just don't fit you right. And in your mind's eye, you said something to Tiffany Hinchel that just about broke me. I mean, it was such a beautiful statement. And it not beautiful in a way, but the idea of where you're at now was beautiful. That people treat you different when you're fat because they think you're stupid. And you no longer get treated that way. And so in the back of your mind, you think, I don't have to pull out the fat jokes anymore because I always throw them out there before anybody else does to give them permission to make fun of me almost. And the idea that you're treated differently, that's heartbreaking a little bit. You know what I mean? Just the fact that people treat you differently because you're a slim man now. And when you were fat, they thought you were stupid.
Oh, look, it's totally different, Jeff. And it's, I always say to people, it's a bit like being beamed up. You know, you talk about Star Trek and you get beamed up and then you get beamed back down as a normal person and you walk along the street and nobody stares at you. Nobody makes remarks about you. You don't have kids looking at you or making remarks to their parents about how fat you are. You go into shops, people say hello, they smile, they treat you well, they treat you with respect. And the difference is amazing. And while it's fantastic in one way, it's so sad in another. But I know what you mean. But Jeff, when you first started your intermittent fasting journey, what sort of support were you getting from your family and friends? Did you get much kickback or were people on board with what you were doing?
I've been so excited to tell you this part. My other best friend, Kevin Hicks, the school teacher, he jumped on board with me right away. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do that with you. And he would report back to me and say, I'm doing my work. You know, he tried doing low carb with me and he's like, I just can't get through my workouts. I just can't. It doesn't fit me. And when he started intermittent fasting, he started exercising in the fasted state. And he's like, oh, he says, I can tear it up. I get on the elliptical and I can go and go and go. And I just feel great. And tonight he walked in and he said, first of all, he complimented me and I complimented him. We're both in this together since the beginning. And he looks fantastic and he feels great and it fits his lifestyle so well. My sister, Pam, started her year out with horrible asthma and she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and she could not get her sugar under control. She started taking injections at home. She tried everything to get it under control and she just couldn't get a handle on it. And she went to the asthma doctor yesterday. And the asthma doctor called in the nurses who were a little bit chubby and said, look at this woman. Look how she's changed. Look at how she glows. She's an example to everybody. She's, my sister does completely low carb, no sugar. And she was doing a 16-8, but since I started doing the longer fast, they started doing the 20s this week, her and her husband. Her husband's lost 40 pounds. They're both around 67 years old. They've never felt better. She's off of her diabetes medicine. She's not taking anything for her asthma. Her husband feels fantastic. And it's like talking to a teenage girl every time I call her on the phone. So I've got a lot of support between my two best friends and my sister. And it's just wonderful to have people that you can call on the phone and say, look, I lost 2 more pounds today. And they celebrate with you. I think it's very important. And I think it's a blessing to have people in your life that will support you. Not everybody has that gift.
Oh, absolutely. So, Jeff, as a trucker, obviously you spend long hours on the road. Have you noticed any differences in your alertness and mental health from IF?
It's changed everything. I eat 2 meals a week on the road now, and I usually take grilled chicken breasts with me or hamburger that I grilled on my grill. And I have a quick meal, and then I do the 48-hour fast until I get home. When I leave again on Wednesday, I'll do another quick meal with a completely low-carb, just meat. I kind of stick with carnivore when I go out on the road. And it frees me up. My cup is always full of ice. I drink a lot of black coffee. I celebrate the clean fast because that's the way I've been taught by my mentors. And it's so nice. And with COVID, everything changed because you couldn't walk into a gas station or a petrol station and use the bathroom because they had it roped off. You had to have very select places where you could go. And I trucked through the entire, I've been trucking through the entire pandemic, I'm sorry. And it's been very challenging to be out there and not sheltering in place and all the things, trying to find food, taking food from home. And this makes things so much simpler because I take a little bit with me. I drink my sparkling water. I make my coffee in my truck. It keeps me in the truck away from people and disease, all the things that are out there. It's just a much better way to do it from beginning to end. And the bathroom has changed a lot. I know it's a little bit graphic, but it's just a whole different situation when you're on the road and you're not eating crap and feeling terrible.
Oh, that's fantastic. So we talk about the non-scale victories, Jeff, and the health benefits, and you mentioned your ankles there. Just talk us through some of the health benefits that you're finding aside from the weight loss.
Well, I've had some things happen this week that after listening to a podcast that, you know, I read Jen's book this week, and I do audiobooks because I'm on the road, and I didn't realize that Jen's Fast, Feast, Repeat was audio. So I listened to that book this week, and she has an incredible sections in those books where she has testimonies in the beginning and the end. And one of the ladies in the testimonies was talking about her mole falling off. Well, I've got a hideous mole on my left cheek that I got in my 40s that I wanted to get it surgically removed. And it has completely flattened, and it's fading and turning back to a flesh-colored tone. A big surprise that I got in all this, and I'll keep this moving, but the spiritual aspect of fasting, because I'm a Christian, is it's been wonderful to meditate and pray and read the Bible in a fasted state, because I think the mental clarity is incredible. And that mental clarity carries over as I'm reading books every day and listen to audios, and just the ability to process and think with a different perspective is amazing. And I'll tell you, Graham, when you're on a diet, it's a lot like running as fast as you can go until you just run out of gas and you can't go anymore.
Yeah.
Fasting is like walking into a new room that you didn't know existed, and everything opens up to you and you realize, I don't ever have to do that again. And it's a wonderful, miraculous feeling to realize you're free and you found the answer. And you wonder how you were lucky enough to figure this out, because so many people never will. There's so much diabetes in the world, but because of these groups and the great books we read, I feel like I really fell into something here that's life-changing, and I get to share it with some very close people in my life.
Yeah, I can really resonate with that, Jeff. And I know when you talk about driving, I do a fair bit of driving myself in the country. I work in agriculture research, so I'm not doing the distances you do, but occasionally I'll do a 6 and 7 hour road trip. And I know when I was obese, I used to be coming back from those trips and I was so exhausted, I actually had to pull off the side of the road and have a sleep. And now I just feel so alert, and I'm not stopping at every service station and filling up on the crap food, as you say, which really makes you feel sluggish. And I know my mental alertness and my mental clarity just jumped out of the ground straight away. And that was the first thing I really noticed about intermittent fasting, about just how it was making me more alert. And when I talk about losing weight and people say to me, oh, you've lost all this weight, must be so fantastic. And I say, yes, but let me tell you about the health benefits first, because to me, Jeff, the health benefits have been far more exciting than what the actual weight loss has been. I mean, I've mentioned on this podcast a few times about getting rid of the psoriasis. And for me, that was a debilitating thing. And when I got rid of that, it was just fantastic. So, Jeff, I want to ask you a couple of questions here. What do you reckon was the hardest part about doing intermittent fasting? For me, it was the social aspect.
Well, the social aspect for me, because I work 6 days a week, hasn't been that big of an issue. And two of those days that I work are like 3-hour days. They're partials because I'm on my way home. the hardest thing for me is to really break the fast and feed accordingly, because when you're on an update, trying to get the food in you, I don't feel as good eating as I do when I'm fasting. I feel heavy and bloated, so I nibble. And that's the way that I get around that, is nibbling. Once you become fat adapted, fasting is the easiest thing in the world. Like, I get frustrated when you talk to somebody, if you mention what you're doing, and they say, oh, that's unhealthy. But they certainly weren't concerned when I've got high blood pressure and swollen ankles and I can't walk and I got inflammation in my body. But fasting is unhealthy for you. And it's a little frustrating to listen to that.
Yeah, it is.
That gets me a little bit. Yeah, that gets me a little bit. But no, I have a hard time eating, Graham. I really do. I've got appetite correction, and my taste buds have completely changed. I'll taste something now that doesn't taste the same. I don't need to add salt like I used to, because I can get the flavor out of things. But it's hard to stop fasting. It's when you've got a lot of weight to lose and you've lost your weight. And I know my future is probably a 16-8, but when you've lost a lot of weight, you're already there. When you're trying to lose, you're very motivated to not eat, but I know that's not healthy because you'll slow down your metabolism. So it's keeping that in your head that you've got to eat.
Yeah, it is. And that's important to make sure that you get enough nutrition into your body. And I know, even being in maintenance, Jeff, for over a year now, still have those days where I want to eat a lot more. And then I have days where I don't need as much. And I think one of the real game changers for me was understanding that our bodies don't need as much fuel as what we think they do. And particularly in a job like yours, where you're driving, or a job like mine, where I'm in an office, you probably need different levels of fuel. And I just feel I don't need as much, but there are days where I do. But the other thing, Jeff, I want to talk about mindset and how's that changed with your food habits. And you mentioned there you used to have a lot of poor food in your diet, fast food and so forth. When did that sort of start changing? And you mentioned that appetite correction kicking in. How long did that sort of take to happen?
Well, these words changed everything for me. Window worthy. And I don't like to eat anything that has a label on it. I'd rather take it outside and cook it, grill it, stew it, make it myself, not take it out of a can or a package, and know what I'm cooking and what I'm making. And, you know, you talk a lot about quality of food, and I have the option to buy what I want to eat and eat well. And I don't think about that when I'm going to the grocery store to get something. I buy whatever I want now, and I don't take shortcuts, and I don't eat anything out of a package. If I want something, I make it homemade. If we go out to a restaurant, I try to pick some place that I can get a nice low-carb meal and eat a good steak. And it's just a whole different ball game. And I think before I put something in my mouth, do I really want to eat this? What's this going to do to me? And sure, there's a little bit of eating things that might not be right, but I don't eat as much of it. If I have ice cream, I'll take a couple spoonfuls and stop, because that little bit of sweetness is enough. And I try not to do that very often, but I've got a long way to go there. And it's just 4 months in. And I'm sure as I go along, it'll become more important, the things that I eat, the things that I buy. But I'm on the right path. I think I'm going down a good road. And the idea of, like I said, trying to eat something that doesn't have a label on it, that's all natural.
Yeah. So after those few months, your appetite's starting to change. And these are the phases that we go through with intermittent fasting. And I know after about 6 months, I became a complete food snob. And when I sort of tracked back to what I used to eat, Jeff, it was a real rewire of the whole mind about how I approach food. And the other thing was, when did you get to that point in your window when we eat to that satiety and we get sort of that sigh, we know we've had enough? I mean, some people eat whatever they want near windows, and that's fantastic. And, you know, we all have to be respectful of everybody's choices and keep our eyes in our own plate. But for you, when did you get to that point where you'd be having your window and you just go, that's enough?
That's a interesting thing, because of educating myself through Delay Don't Deny and Fast Feast Repeat and Life in the Fasting Lane with Jason Fung, and all the help that I've got from good podcasts. I started listening early on to that, and I realized it's okay You can't eat for the next meal. You can't stuff yourself and hope that it carries you through tomorrow. You eat for today, and when you get full, stop. And you know, Jen calls it a food baby. She doesn't want to have that food baby in her belly. I don't like to feel stuffed and full. I like to just be comfortable. And it seems like it happens naturally when you're fasting if you just listen to your body. And that's one of the biggest things in all this. If you're plugged in right and you start listening to your body, it gives you the signals. And you know, it doesn't happen overnight. We keep getting better and better as we go, but it's very important to pay attention to what's going on, you know, inside yourself, and hear that inner voice and wait for that sigh. That's the thing. But I bet you I'm not answering your question. I think I was 2 months in when it started happening for me. And what happened was, is I hit a plateau for a month before I started doing the ultimate day fasting. And in that plateau, I decided that I don't care if I plateau, this is the way I'm going to eat. And that's when I started to really pay attention to my body, because I wasn't losing weight. And I thought, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And it worked out great. It really did. And I think everybody has that happen, but it gets better as you go along. I think when I hit the 6 month and the year and the year and a half, I think I'm still going to be learning things my body's trying to tell me.
Yeah, it's really important, Jeff. And that's a great message, to listen to our body. And I know there's been some days where I sort of felt a bit off, or I didn't feel right, and I just opened my window a bit earlier. And I think you get to that point where you really get in tune with your body, and you know those days where, okay, I might not make it to 22 hours today. I might only make it to 20 hours. And that's okay, because every day is a you day. And that's important to remember. A lot of people beat themselves up, Jeff, and I know every Monday my phone buzzes with people saying, oh man, I've overeaten on the weekend, I've put on 5 pounds, and you know, I'm going to have to do a 45-hour fast. And I say to them, look, don't revenge fast. You need to be able to just regroup. You haven't put on 5 pounds. You've put on like water retention. You can't put on 5 pounds overnight. It's not possible, and it's not possible to lose 5 pounds of fat overnight either. So yeah, that's a good message. But the other thing, mate, did you find many sort of downsides to intermittent fasting so far? Have you found any negatives for yourself?
I got to be honest with you. I have been so thrilled with the weight loss. I mean, losing 10 pounds a month has been life-changing. And, you know, let's face it, 2020 has been a horrible year for a lot of people. And I was fortunate that I didn't lose my job, and I've been healthy. And the whole year has been, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that I was going to end this year, or even halfway through the year, with a 34 pound weight loss, that's pretty exciting stuff. It's hard to be down, and I've had people around me embrace it also. So it's been nothing but positives for me. And it's a lifestyle that makes sense. And if you do the math on it, it adds up, and it just seems to work for me. And then you've got, you know, people in the groups that are there. We just got done having a 40-hour fast challenge in our Fast Feast Repeat Low Carb Facebook group that you're a part of. And it was so much fun, because after I finished my fast, I was a little bit ahead of everybody else. It was fun to see this person stopped at this, and or this person decided to do a 500 calorie break in their fast, and this one made it 37 hours, and everybody was celebrating everybody else. And where are you going to find people like that in this the way things in the world are right now, to find a positive group of people that are all celebrating each other? And there's no politics, there's no religion, it's just, you know, celebrating human beings is a pretty nice thing. And I'm really feel blessed to be a part of all that. So it's been a good year. It really has. I don't have much negatives to say about intermittent fasting.
Oh, that's great, mate. So when we talk about the science of intermittent fasting, Jeff, are you somebody that delves into a lot of the science and craves that, or are you more of the experiment of one type of person?
I want to read and hear everything I can get my hands on. I'm like a crazy man researching and looking. I listened to Jen Stevens' podcast today with the vintner that does, I think, Dry Valley Wines or Dry Creek Wines. And he was talking about some things in there that I wasn't aware of. And so I learned some things that I didn't know. Listen to that. I have the opportunity to input constantly all day long by via podcast or a book. And I love information, Graham. I do. I can't wait to see what science has to say next. The idea of autophagy and glycogen in your liver and all the things that you learn. And, you know, you start to understand, okay, so this was my feast day. So my liver's kind of replenished some of its glycogen. So now I've got to burn that off before I get into a fasted state. And if I'm going to have a meal on the road, I want to make sure it's as low carb as it can be so I can keep those ketones flowing. And it's just, it's so easy to understand because we've got really great gurus out there. We've got really good people teaching us, doing a great job telling us what to do.
Yeah. And so just for the people out there that may not know, or some people here in Australia, listen, Jeff. Jeff was talking about Jim Stevens there, the New York Times best-selling author of Fast Feast Repeat, which is a comprehensive guide to intermittent fasting, which has recently just been released. And Jeff also belongs to a couple of Facebook groups and the Delay Don't Deny groups, and also a group with the Fast Feast Repeat Low Carb, which is run by Tiffany Henshaw, which is a great group for anyone that wants to do low carb combined with intermittent fasting. But Jeff, the other thing now, you mentioned that you've gone off the fasting schedule that you originally did, and you're now sort of moving into a bit of the alternate day fasting. Can you just explain that a bit about what you're actually doing now with that?
Absolutely. When you have your window on a daily eating window, and a lot of people, the idea of not eating during the day is disturbing, and that's great for those people. I mean, you start out, we're all in different places and nobody's doing it wrong. For a lot of people, you know, the 16-8 is a good beginning for them. 20-24 is a good place to be. I couldn't get my weight to move, and I listened to Tiffany Henshaw say that she was dropping a pant size a week doing alternate day fasting. So that got me moving into that because I thought, I got to try this. And I'm not kidding you, within 1 week, my pants weren't touching my belly. I'd gone down so much. But there's no wrong way to do it. Just get started and begin is the place to go and wind up where you are. For me, it's so convenient to know that I'm on the road 4 nights a week. I sleep in my truck. I'm home 3 days a week. In that, knowing that I only have to plan out 2 meals in the truck works great for me. So a 48-hour fast is wonderful. And if, whether you're doing a 40 or a 48, once you're fat adapted, it doesn't make much difference. Now, in maintenance, I might find that's a different thing. But for right now, I've got a lot of fat to eat, so I'm not going hungry.
Yeah, that's great, mate. And I think if people are interested in alternate day fasting, refer back to episode 6. I interviewed Rachel Larwood. I don't know if you listened to that, but Rachel gave a fantastic explanation of alternate day fasting and the very important message of the refeed day, which is your up day. So you mentioned there how much support you got from the Facebook groups, Jeff, and the compliments you've been getting from the fellow truckers. Do you think more and more truckers might take up intermittent fasting after following your example?
Well, you know, intermittent fasting is a buzzword right now, and it's getting very popular compared to back in 2014, 2015. It just keeps gaining momentum. And the trucking industry is always looking for the next thing. And we have a lot of different blog sites and different things that go on that people look at. And I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't come up and save some people some money. Obviously, you said this earlier when we were speaking, that we take in way more calories than we need. And one of the things about trucking is we wind up eating to stay awake. You know, you said that. You drive down the road, you get tired, you put some food in your belly, you keep driving, and food crashes me, especially now. If I eat, I get sleepy. And not so much on the low carb. Low carb doesn't seem to do it. If I take in carbs, I crash. For a truck driver, it's the perfect solution because you can plan your meals in a very, we're in a scheduled environment. You can schedule those meals much better and know that I'm going to eat at this time of day. All of us, Graham, have microwaves and refrigerators in our trucks, so you can carry things with you. But But for any truck driver that's out there that might be listening to this, I encourage you to try this. Start out with a 12-12 if you need to, but anybody could do a 16-8. Skip breakfast. Stop eating at 7 o'clock at night. Skip your breakfast and eat your lunch and just begin there and let the magic happen, because you'll get motivated very quickly.
Yeah, that's great. So, Jeff, I should have asked you at the start, but did you clean fast right from the beginning?
Absolutely. You know, when I got onto Jen's intermittent fasting, the success stories, and from the very beginning, she talked about the clean fast, and I had probably been fasting probably 3 or 4 days before I got on the Zero app and got a hold of her advice, and I just wanted it to be easy. And I've got to tell you, I love coffee with cream and sugar and all the good stuff in it. I hate black coffee. And guess what? If I put cream and sugar in my coffee now, it doesn't taste right. I like it black and I like it strong. And I find that by buying a good quality coffee, it makes all the difference in the world. And as your palate cleanses, you begin to be able to taste all the nuances in the coffee, and everything tastes. You'll find this across the board. Whether you're having a glass of wine or a beer, things taste better when you're not gorging your palate all the time.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that's part of your taste changing. And I noticed that I started savoring food, Jeff. And what intermittent fasting also did for me is it gave me mindful eating, slow, deliberate. And I wasn't just hoovering it off my plate and stuffing it down my face. I actually took the time to enjoy it, and I could taste the flavors. And for years and years, Jeff, all I tasted was my addictions to sugar and fast food. And when I actually started getting over that, and the joy of being able to taste food and the new foods that I was introducing and foods that I never used to eat before, things like avocado. I mean, for me to eat an avocado when I was obese was so foreign to me, because I used to think they were horrible, yet I didn't even know what they tasted like. And now I absolutely love it. So, Jeff, I want to talk for a minute about goal setting. And what sort of goals did you set yourself, and what sort of goals have you got from here on in?
Well, this is something that you could probably help me out with, because I have a feeling that 10 pounds a month isn't going to be realistic forever. And granted, I had a month where I didn't lose any weight. But still, in the 4 months, I'm down 10 pounds a month. I don't know, you know, I started out 312 pounds or 141 and a half kilos. That's heavy. I'm a big man, and I'm still a big man. I've got a long way to go. But my dream is to walk into a department store where everybody else shops, and it's my goal to walk in there and buy nice clothes and to not feel awkward and uncomfortable, and to be able to enjoy my grandchildren and play with them in a way that it was unimaginable. But I grew up as a kid in the woods, and I want to get back to being in the woods, hiking. I kayak now, and my kayak lays low in the water, but I'd like to be out there and go on kayaking trips and start hiking in the woods and just, you know, cook my food over a campfire when I'm out there camping, and enjoy the outdoors in a way I haven't been able to do it, and in a healthy way that doesn't hurt and you don't have the pain and the misery.
Yeah, that's fantastic, mate. It's very freeing. And one of the big things for me was flying, Jeff. I've done a lot of traveling in my life around the world, and flying was always terrible for me as an obese person. And I know now how freeing it is. In fact, I just took a flight last weekend, and I got on there and I noticed I had about 12 inches of the seatbelt hanging out. And amazing. I got to a point at one stage where I was either going to need a seat extender, or I used to hide the fact that it wasn't done up. How did you find traveling when you're obese? And I bet you're looking forward to that now that you're not.
It was embarrassing. I was always afraid that they were going to tell me I had to buy two seats. And
yeah,
we flew to, I've only been overseas once. We flew to Paris, France for a wedding. And we went to England, we went to France, we were in Paris. And fortunately, the middle row was wide open and I had all the room I needed and was comfortable. But I've taken flights to California from Illinois, which is a pretty good flight. My son was in the Air Force. And so we go out there to see the grandkids. And I was always afraid in the plane. And I always wanted to make sure that we got two seats together by the window, so I wouldn't embarrass and nobody be crowded by me with my fat hanging over. And I look forward to, I was just talking to my best friend here a little bit ago about going to Scotland together and going back to Paris. And the idea of getting on the plane with him and not being embarrassed or worried about falling asleep and snoring and everybody on the plane hearing you snore. It's all those things go through your mind about you're terrified you're going to be embarrassed. And so you do all these things. I stayed awake the entire flight. We flew at nighttime into France. And I was scared to death I was going to fall asleep and I'd snore. Well, I'm not snoring much anymore, but that was my fear.
Yeah. And I know with flying myself, I actually you every plane model, Jeff. Are you every plane model? Are you every seat? Are you how many inches, how many centimeters, what the best seats were? And I'd do anything to get those seats. And the real catalyst actually came for me on the 1st of January 2018, where I was sitting next to my wife waiting to take off and I was sort of spilling over into her seat. And I just thought, enough's enough. I can't do this anymore. And I remember I took a flight last year, actually, and I remember walking down the aisle and not even being worried about who I was sitting next to or where I was sitting. It was just so freeing. And these are the things that I talk about where intermittent fasting isn't just about weight loss. There's so much more that goes into it. And I know my mental health was completely rewired about the way I used to think about myself. And did you find that you're getting more confident within yourself and you're thinking about yourself more positively?
I tucked in my shirt into my pants today, and I always leave my shirt out because it hides my fat. And I've dropped 5 belt notches, so I tucked my shirt into my pants, and I put on a Columbia fleece jacket this morning and zipped it up, and it fit me. And I stood there and looked in the mirror, and I thought, you know what? I'm not fat enough that anybody would notice anymore. I'm not a freak. Nobody's going to look at me and think, oh, look at the size of his belly, because I'm just somewhere in between now and kind of blending in. But so much thought and effort goes into being a fat person, the things that you're afraid of, the comments you're afraid of, how you're going to head them off, how you make jokes about it to let somebody off the hook when they notice you're fat or they're rude to you and all that. And I'm not where you are yet. I'm on my way. But all that thought and energy you put into protecting yourself as a fat person is going to be out the window. And intermittent fasting is the way you get it. And here's the beautiful thing about it. Intermittent fasting isn't a punishment. It's a joy. You realize how good you feel, the autophagy, all the things that are your blood vessels are repairing themselves. All the clutter and junk in your body is going out the window. Your blood pressure is lower. You feel good. When you walk around, I had plantar fasciitis so bad that my foot hurt so bad that I hated to walk anywhere. The grocery store was excruciating and it's gone. And just to know that, oh, don't eat so. It turns out, Graham, they were right. Stop eating so much and you'll feel better.
Oh, look, it's in my case, Jeff, they say you are what you eat. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, I was the worst fast food and sugar addict going, and I was right at the top of the tree. I'd wake up in the morning, mate, and I used to think about food. And most people, when they wake up in the morning, they think of other delightful things other than food, as you know. But for me, I used to think about food, what I could eat, when I could eat, and it occupied my thoughts all day. I'd be in a business meeting, and I'd be thinking about going down and getting a burger and some chips for lunch because it just consumed me. But once I got that sort of thinking out of my system, and I was very fortunate to overcome my addictions before I came to intermittent fasting. And for me, that was key that I got rid of those addictions before I started, because I felt like if I was to carry those addictions into something as radical as intermittent fasting, I would have really struggled because I still would have had those addictions. And it's important to remember that there's a big difference between addiction and moderation. And you may still be a person that may enjoy a little bit of sugar or occasionally you may have something that you might think that you wouldn't have. But for me, I just had to deny a lot of things right from the start. And did you find that you sort of had to restrict things? Do you drink alcohol at all, Jeff?
I do. And you got to have guardrails. The thing about alcohol is I realized early on in this that there's 71 calories in a shot. So if you're going to fast for a long period of time And then you're going to come off of that fast and you're going to drink a shot and pump that in there. Is that the right calories? I'll say this though. When I get off the road, it's nice to sit down and sit on the back porch in the backyard and listen to some nice music and have a drink. But I think that there should be guardrails so that you don't go too far and undo or damage yourself in a way that it undoes all your hard work. So you got to be careful. And I think everything needs to be in moderation, Graham. I mean, we use food for a fix. We use alcohol for a fix. We use shopping for a fix. The thing that I've come to realize with intermittent fasting is if I can go, today was 49 hours without food. It wasn't a challenge. At the 49th hour, I didn't feel very different than I did at the 16th hour. If I can do that, what other disciplines have I got in my life? What else can I overcome? What else can I achieve in my life? It's a gateway to all these different things because you're empowered by the discipline that you've learned from fasting. It affects your whole life in all areas, whether you're having a drink or whether you're going shopping. You can put a parameter on something and realize I've got control of this. I can handle this.
Yeah, and that's really important message that you just put out there about there is a difference between addiction and moderation, and there's certainly nothing wrong with sitting down and having a drink on the back porch and enjoying life. I mean, life is to be lived, and I still have a drink now and again and a couple of beers now and again, but compared to what I used to have, I was a real social animal, basically, Jeff. I was a real party guy, and that's why it was difficult for me. First sort of few months of intermittent fasting where people were used to me being the life of the party. People were used to be the go-to guy that you'd ring up and say, hey, we're having a party, and they'd invite me because they knew that I was a very social person and I was pretty good company and that sort of thing. And then when I withdrew from that, it was really hard for some people to accept that. But now those same people are pretty good, and you find out sort of a bit who your friends are a little bit too, and you know, the
True.
difference between friends and drinking buddies. But Jeff, the other thing is you mentioned blood there. Did you get much blood work done, or have you been to your doctors since you've been doing this, and have they had anything to say about it, or?
I canceled my doctor's appointment because I wanted to get a little bit more weight off. So when I went in there, I could have a big result and celebrate that much more. So I had enough blood pressure medicine to get me through until October. So I scheduled my appointment for October and I'd probably check in on the Facebook pages and say what happened. But here's the problem is if I take my blood pressure medicine when I'm fasting, I get a little lightheaded. So I've been a little bit careful with my blood pressure medicine and my blood pressure cuff broke. So my goal this weekend is to go get a new blood pressure cuff because that's the only medication I take and start testing it when I'm in the fasted state and see whether I need that medicine or not because I've got a feeling with the weight loss that I've had and the autophagy and all the things that are going on inside my body with the healing that I've had, that my blood pressure might be lower now. And it was running a little bit lower on the medication side, but I just got a feeling. When I started this out, I want to back up to our last thing. I went almost 60 days without drinking any alcohol at all when I first started to make sure that that wasn't inhibiting my weight loss. And so I've let it creep back in here and there now. And but I think like anything else with alcohol, you need to have a fasting period with it where you go without. But yeah, my blood pressure and blood work is all scheduled to be done. There's two topics there, sorry. In October, and I can't wait to get the numbers back. And I can't wait to get on the scale because the last time I weighed in that office, I was 314. So I was 2 pounds heavier than when I started this. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to see what they say and if they ask me anything about it, because I'm really curious to see whether my doctor's on board with it or not, because I have no idea. And you know, you listen to Jen talk so much about doctors that are on board or are all for it, and then there's other doctors who don't know anything about nutrition.
Yeah, I think the other thing you mentioned there too, your rapid weight loss of some 40 pounds in a few months there. And it does slow down, Jeff. You do get to those points where you have plateaus and that sort of thing. And I know I had a 3 month plateau where I lost no weight at all. And I simply trusted the process and I just kept on fasting. And I thought, well, I'm not going to keep losing that 10, 12 pounds a month. And whether people are losing slowly or quickly, it doesn't matter because everybody's different. And it's really important that people listening to this podcast don't compare yourself to me. Don't compare yourself to Jeff. just compare yourself to you, because you have a different DNA to everybody else, and you may be on a different path about how you want to lose weight, et cetera, or what you want to do. And some of us, and particularly Jeff and myself, we're pretty big guys, Jeff, aren't we? And we're going to lose weight quickly when we start readjusting.
Men lose weight differently than women do. And women have thyroid problems sometimes. Men seem, my brother-in-law, like I say, he's taken off 40 pounds and my sister's only taken off about 19. And everybody's body has been through a different experience, and the autophagy and the healing that takes place inside you and all the wonderful things that go on with fasting, we're all in different places. Last episode, the lady from Egypt, I wanted to write her name down and I forgot it. And she's been losing weight at a much slower rate, but she said she had a lot more healing. And that was very encouraging for people who, not everybody's going to lose a lot of weight fast. We don't all work that way. And not everybody's 300 pounds when they start out. So you're right, Graham. I think it's very encouraging to let people know, don't be discouraged. Do it because what's Jen say? Show up for the health benefits and then you lose the weight. Most of us show up for the weight loss and we get the health benefits, but don't be afraid of those health benefits. Don't get discouraged. Just hang in there and do it because it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, that's great, mate. So we're going to wrap it up in a minute, Jeff, but I wonder if you could just sort of give, you know, doing this for 4 months now, and we want to get you back on in another 6 months' time or close to your year anniversary to see how things have gone, because it's really important to follow this up. But just maybe give people some final words of motivation and go back maybe that 4 months and tell us what you wish you then that you'd like to tell people now.
I had no idea when I started out that there was a community out there that would take me along with them. And, you know, being on the road is an isolated thing. And so I can pick up my phone and my group is there. My people are there. And you start to recognize the names. I was involved with one group that was really big. And I'm not saying this facetiously or sarcastically, I should say. But you get the same questions every day on that group. Will this break my fast? Can I put this? Can I eat this? Can I do this? You know, once you figure it out, go find a group that's tailored for you, that you can really learn from and be educated from, and that will celebrate your victories and you can celebrate their victories. Find a couple people out there that when you look at their picture, they knock your socks off. And when you see them, like the first time I saw you, Graham, I was just on the pages and I came across and I thought, my goodness, that guy looks amazing. And when I saw Tiffany's picture, it shocked me. There's a lot of different people I've seen in the last 4 months, but connect with these people because they'll reach out and they'll send you a friend request and they'll help you along and they'll pay attention to what you're doing. Listen to podcasts, educate yourself if you can. If you're not a reader, podcasts are a great way to go, but get involved and connect with people so that you can share your journey with somebody. And one of the best things I've heard out there is, don't always go around telling people that you're intermittent fasting. Just tell them you're eating in a window and then they don't ask questions so hard. But no, the groups have been incredible for me, Graham, and I've been so inspired by a few people that have just really helped me along and changed my life. And I'm really thankful that we have such a great community out there.
Yeah, that's really great advice, Jeff. And those communities, again, that Jeff's talking about, the Delay Don't Deny Facebook groups and also the Fast Feast Repeat Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle Low Carb, run by Tiffany Henschel. Tiffany was also on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, if you want to tune into that. But Jeff, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to have a real life highwayman here on the Fasting Highway with me today. And thank you so much for joining me.
I look forward to talking to you in 6 months or a year, Graham.
Yeah, we'll see you then, Jeff. Thanks so much, mate.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, that was fantastic. I really enjoyed that chat with Jeff, and I think you gave a great testament into how somebody like yourself working on the road so much can make fasting fit that lifestyle. And I think your other truckies are going to probably be taking that up after hearing it, Jeff. Those results you've had in the first 4 months are amazing. And the fact that you've got your friends and family on board as well is so great. And it really is important to have that support network around you. And you mentioned the Facebook groups and that sort of thing. And don't forget, you can now join the Fasting Highway podcast Facebook group now as well. So next week, guys, in episode 14, we're going to be talking to the amazing Star McEwen. And Star has had a few trials and tribulations in her life, and she's overcome them to be a leading light in the intermittent fasting community. And her story is simply amazing. So join us then on Sunday. And until then, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.